This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 15th, 2025. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 400. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and on the big deal feature, it's the 400th edition of the Breaker.News podcast, the quadricentennial. Instead of looking back, I'm looking ahead. Looking ahead 1 year to June 2026, when Vancouver is one of the 16 co-hosts of the FIFA World Cup 26. So much to do, so little time. Will it be worth the nearly $600 million price tag for taxpayers? Hear from FIFA Vice President Victor Montagliani. Vancouver hosts City Secretariat Leader Jesse Adcock. Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim. NDP Minister Responsible Spencer Chandra Herbert. Destination Vancouver's Royce Twin. BC Poverty Reduction Coalition's Chantel Spicer. And sports economist Victor Matheson. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. Less than a year from now, Vancouver will be one of the 16 cities in North America co-hosting the biggest sport event in history, FIFA World Cup 26. But there are so many unknowns. Beside Canada for two of the seven matches at BC Place Stadium, the other nations will not be announced until the draw in December. We don't know the costs of security. We don't know which downtown streets and buildings will be behind security barricades. Even the vice president of FIFA, who lives in a West Vancouver mansion, does not seem to know what to expect. Victor Montagliani headlined the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade's June 10th countdown event.
So, Victor, what are we in for?
You know, I always like to bug people to say you have no idea what's coming. The reality is I don't think I have any idea what's coming. And I say that from experiencing, obviously, many World Cups, both men and women, youth, whatever, but and having been in Qatar, having been in Russia, and, you know, great events, great football. But I think, obviously, being Canadian and being from Vancouver, I really don't know, in some ways, how big this is going to be.
What else don't we know about FIFA 26? Well, Vancouver has a shortage of hotel rooms, so where will all the visitors stay? Here is Destination Vancouver CEO Royce Twin.
This is obviously the big question and a piece that we've been working on for quite some time. And no surprise, we have the same amount of rooms today as we did in 2002. We kept our eye off the ball. We did not have the right climate, so we got ourselves in this situation. The Lower Mainland or Metro Vancouver has approximately 20,000 hotel rooms, not including the short-term stay rentals. So we've got a few thousand more rooms on there. The City of Vancouver really did their homework prior to the provincial legislation coming down. So when that happened in May, Vancouver proper actually didn't lose rooms. In fact, we gained a few rooms because we were already there in terms of understanding what policies could be. And so the conversation, 20,000 rooms here, short-term stay rental, rooms obviously on the island and so on and so forth. The question the conversation having now with the provincial government and of course with the city, is there an opportunity to allow for a short-term exemption to increase room stock pre, during, and slightly post the FIFA games? Do we need to do that to increase it and see if that opportunity can happen? And so that's a live conversation right now to see what it would look like. I think we have to be very, very careful, though, establishing a precedent and having rules. Once you give something, can you take it back?
Some tickets for FIFA 26 are already on sale through FIFA's VIP ticketing contractor and locally under a sponsorship program selling packages for $195,000 and up. So how will BC soccer fans get their hands on tickets? Here is Jesse Adcock, the local organizing committee leader.
So if you haven't already, please go to FIFA.com and pre-register. That is where you're going to get all of your information on tickets. Tickets will start going on sale in the fall, and we will have to wait for the information to come down, and then it's a lottery. And so there are packages that you can pre-buy right now. There's a tournament going on down south called the Club World Cup, if you go attend that tournament, there are some opportunities to get access to World Cup matches. So those are the things that you can do right now. When the time comes in September, I think we all must cross our fingers a little bit. So that's going to be part of what is involved there. The more you can do now to sort of see what the options are, you can kind of get ahead of it through some strategies, especially I think Club World Cup is one that you can really leverage. The other thing I want to just mention on tickets is that oftentimes I think we compare the Olympics in 2010 to the mm-hmm. situation here, and it is not going to be like that. I think a lot of folks had access to a lot of tickets that were available. There was a lot of inventory that was able to be shared across partners. In this case, it is going to be quite limited, but that is why we are focusing on the fan festival.
On June 11th, Montagliani and Adcock were joined outside BC Place Stadium by a few hundred invitees to unveil the official countdown clock for FIFA 26 at Terry Fox Plaza.
Amazing! We are 364 days, 12 hours, and 3 minutes from the first kick of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Also there, Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim and Spencer Chandra-Herbert, the NDP tourism minister who is also responsible for FIFA 26. Sim and Chandra-Herbert spent less than 5 minutes answering questions from reporters. You'll hear the scrum, and when you do, you will hear me ask about security and transportation impacts on downtown businesses and impacts on the homeless. Will the homeless be displaced from the downtown east side? And keep listening to the end. I also attempted to ask Chandra-Herbert about World Cup-related healthcare and human rights issues. Can Metro Vancouver's crowded hospitals cope with the influx of World Cup visitors? And what about the NDP government's support for FIFA sponsors, specifically Saudi Aramco and Qatar Airways? Those companies are owned by governments that ban same-sex relationships.
So lots of stuff going on here today. Any update on the price tag?
We'll have a full costing of where we're at in terms of cost, in terms of revenue, closer to the end of June. We'll share it publicly at that point. We're just finishing up a couple of accounting things at this point.
And you're expecting over 300,000?
Yes, sorry, step forward. Okay, yes, of course.
So any update on how you're going to handle the 350,000 tourists that's going to be coming here? There's a lack of hotels in the city. How are you going to accommodate that?
Wait a moment. Have you all off of our bench?
Yes. We're working with our hotel partners across the province. We think there's opportunity for people to stay further afield. We know Hello and the BC Ferries, we're looking at them. Opportunity for overflow, even all the way to Nanaimo, of course out in the valley. We do have more hotel product on the way, but certainly we also know many people who are looking, if they want to avoid the crowds, some folks are considering renting out their homes, for example, as an alternative during World Cup. Stay with a friend, rent out their home, engage in the game, make some money, provide a bit more space for the visitors. So it's a good problem to have. A whole bunch of people want to come and be with us in BC, and we can't wait to welcome them.
When are you going to consult with the area residents around here about the road closures and the impacts on businesses, and will you compensate anyone whose business is impacted negatively because of the road closures around here?
Yeah, we'll definitely work with local businesses as a part of the planning process. To make sure that we host a pretty successful game. So we've done it in the past with the Olympics, and we'll do it again with FIFA World Cup 2026.
And how about still caring for the homeless at a time like this? Will homeless people be dislocated, displaced, moved out of the Anthony side for security reasons?
No, look, the challenges that we have with our unhoused population, this is an ongoing thing with, cities throughout the region. And so, at the end of the day, this is something that we address, today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and that will be ongoing.
And question for Sim. Public safety has been a huge talking point recently. So over 350,000 people coming to the city on top of the people already here, how are you going to accommodate with public safety and police when the World Cup comes in less than a year now?
Oh, look, I have all the confidence in the world in the VPD and our security infrastructure. We've been working on it for quite a while as soon as we found out we were getting the games, and actually before that as part of the planning process to actually get the games here. Look, we've been working on it. For example, prior to the unfortunate, like the incredibly tragic, horrendous incident with the Lapu Lapu event, I was actually in Boston the week before, touring with Boston PD and their infrastructure, like local, state, and federal agencies, to see how they handle, you know, the Boston Marathon. So these are things that we've been working on. If anything, we've augmented our planning, and we are going to carry off a big, you know, a very safe FIFA World Cup.
Can you give us an idea about how much money you're allotting to public safety and to the police?
Let's put it this way. We will make the necessary investments to make sure that people are safe in the city of Vancouver during FIFA World Cup.
We only have time.
Mr. Senator Herbert.
Sorry, we only have one more question.
Mr. Senator Herbert, your mayor is having problems keeping hospitals open and hospitals.
Sorry, there's two people talking.
Other cities have proactively released the contracts that they have with FIFA. Vancouver has not. How can you ask the residents of this city to embrace this one-year countdown to this event when they don't know what the impact will be on taxpayers in the end?
Yeah, look, we're bound by confidentiality agreements. That's just part of the, you know, that's part of the process. What I can tell you is we've had great lenses on it, and this is actually a great event where the city, the residents of the city of Vancouver and the region and the province and the country will benefit. Let's put this in perspective. There are cities around the planet that would absolutely, you know, they would love this opportunity. We have this opportunity in the city of Vancouver. We're making sure it's held, you know, from a fiscally responsible perspective, and we're super excited to have this opportunity.
Minister Senator Herbert. Sorry, Mr. Senator Herbert. Mr. Senator Herbert. Mr. Gender Herbert? Spencer?
Thank you.
Spencer, I wonder if you can talk about staffing for hospitals next year. Will hospitals be able to handle extra people?
Questions, you can email.
Gender Herbert, I also want to ask you about sponsors from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, who are anti-gay.
Chantel Spicer is an advocate for the city's poor, and she is not convinced by either the mayor or the minister. The campaign manager for the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition is worried about the impacts of the mega event on the city's poorest. In a statement to TheBreaker.news, Chantel Spicer said, quote, "One year out from FIFA, we are left with almost nothing but pressing concerns and questions for the Vancouver Host City Committee and the province about the impact of FIFA 26. We are especially concerned about the displacement of people experiencing homelessness, the impact of increased surveillance and policing on people who rely on public spaces, and those who depend on an already overcrowded public transit system and network of social services. Over the past year, our coalition has made numerous attempts to connect with the host city committee to learn more about the human rights framework and how harm will be mitigated throughout the games, especially given the legacy of human rights abuses within FIFA globally and of displacements of unhoused people more locally. We have been met with silence, brush-offs, or meetings we persistently try to organize over months, only to not get any real answers. There is an utter lack of accountability or opportunity for real stakeholder engagement with frontline service providers in the downtown east side or people who will be impacted by the games. Today, we have heard Mayor Sim say that we should not expect displacement to be a part of the FIFA 26 experience. However, the reality is that everyday people who rely on public spaces in this city are being displaced, are having their possessions stolen in street sweeps, and are experiencing violence from police and private security. This does not give us confidence that people's rights will be respected during such a large sporting event where the city hopes to draw in investment and tourism." End quote. Politicians at all levels of government like to say that FIFA 26 will be a jobs and investment bonanza for BC. Victor Matheson says, don't bet on it. The sports economist with the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts was a guest on the Breaker.News podcast edition number 341 last year. He said that FIFA 26 will be like all the mega events before it, including the Vancouver 2010 Winter Olympics. The costs to taxpayers will likely outweigh any benefits to the economy next year.
It's amazing that you're having a tournament on a continent with literally dozens of stadiums that should be ready to go overnight for a World Cup, yet still somehow managing to have costs in Vancouver of $500 million to host. That's an absurd amount of money to spend on what is essentially a soccer game that should be able to go on very easily with no sorts of costs like this. This is almost as much as it costs to host the entire 1994 World Cup across every venue in the United States. Again, the fact that you can get numbers that big that quickly really shows either no ability to push back against FIFA or no thought on anyone's side really to try to keep these costs down.
Keep visiting thebreaker.news and bobmackin.substack.com for news about FIFA World Cup 26.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In focus, Taiwan.tw. Media workers, academics urge government support for Taiwan journalism. More than 110 individuals from Taiwan's journalism industry and academic circles have launched a campaign calling on the government to prevent online platforms from exploiting the local media sector. They urge the government to introduce legislation that would allow news outlets to negotiate with online platforms over profit distribution, as well as to establish a fund to support the industry. The campaign says platforms such as Google and Meta have monopolized advertising revenue while using news content for free. Digital advertising in 2023 in Taiwan hit more than $390 million, almost half the revenue of traditional media advertising. In ABC News Australia, Australia joins global wake-up call to end plastic pollution, eyeing packaging importers. Australia has joined 96 other nations to push for a binding global treaty to end plastic pollution. The ABC reported last month that plastic waste was becoming so pervasive that seabirds on pristine Lord Howe Island were being found with crunching bellies full of plastic. In Kyoto News, first karaoke machine recognized as entertainment tech milestone. The original karaoke machine was a cube measuring 30 centimeters on each side. It had a microphone, tape player, and coin box for payment. At a ceremony in Tokyo, a plaque was handed to the family of Shigeichi Nagishi, who invented the machine that was manufactured and sold as the Music Box in 1967. Nagishi died last year at age 100. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In Willamette Week, Oregon governor signs bill cracking down on massage parlors that sexually exploit workers. The bill passed the Senate last week by a 28-1 vote and was signed into law by Governor Tina Kotek. Repeat offenders could be jailed up to 5 years and fined $125,000 under the new law. Reporting last fall by Willamette Week's Eliza Aronson showed the Oregon Board of Massage Therapists was largely powerless to respond to the proliferation of businesses that sexually trafficked women in Portland neighborhoods, and Portland police had done little to confront the problem. In Crosscut, Issaquah pays $5.5 million to settle jail deaths as costs mount statewide. Two men died after requesting medical help they never received. Lawsuits over in-custody deaths in Washington have led to millions in payouts and local reforms. Washington's jails have recorded some of the highest death rates in the nation in recent years. Since 2022, 79 inmates died. Washington cities and counties paid over $60 million to settle jail-related lawsuits in the past 5 years. And check out thebreaker.news and bobmackin.substack.com for the stories behind these headlines. From manager to rival, Kareem Alam eyes Ken Sims' job in 2026 election. And, despite national security concerns, NDP Captain B.C. Ferries hires Chinese shipyard. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news and bobmackin.substack.com.
That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate.
virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the men and women of the BC Wildfire Service who are getting busy this week, especially in Squamish, fighting early season wildfires. And you can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 15th, 2025. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. 400 thank yous for joining me on the 400th edition. Did you know that on the 15th of June in 2011, the Vancouver Canucks lost Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final to the Boston Bruins on home ice? It was also Vancouver's second Stanley Cup riot and cost an estimated $9 million to clean up the damage and prosecute the rioters and looters. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. And introducing bobmackin.substack.com. Visit me there too. Sign up for the free email newsletter and get updates to your inbox, or follow The Breaker News for news as it happens on X, formerly Twitter. And you can support The Breaker for as little as $7 a month. For more information, go to bobmackin.substack.com. Until next week.